Macmillan Audio presents Last Known Address by Teresa Schwagel. Read for you by Tavia Gilbert.
The coolest one of us heard about a new place, a lounge on Damon Avenue. No sign posted, and after 10 happy hour. I don't really want to go, but since this whole thing with Steven, I don't get many invites. I wear a skirt and ribbed tights and knee-high boots because there are ways to show leg, even when winter won't let go of April. I'm single. Leg is important. Half-hour wait at the door, and well worth it. Inside, the select are few. The decor is all royal blue and candle-lit. Shadows fall on parlor corners where privileged people don't have to whisper when they tell their secrets. We sit in high-backed chairs and marvel at the drink menu, at the unknown bourbons and brandies stirred with ginger syrup or egg whites or house-made bitters. A singer you'd never hear on the radio grovels, and our rockabilly cocktail girl is just so nice. Between the two of them, we feel a little out of place, here in this outpost for the surviving hip. After one cocktail, I fit right in. Two, and I'm special. We talk about the things we always talk about, the three of us and our newish guy pal. And I am interested, or indifferent, or annoyed, depending on who's doing the talking. I'm not saying much, but I'm not pouting either. I'm just thinking about how things would be if Steven were here. About how I'm so much more like myself without him. About how much being like myself sucks. At some point, the coolest one looks at me and wants to know, "What's your problem?" I could tell the truth, that I'm still in love with the guy whose South American temper translated into a restraining order 4 months ago. But these are the only friends I have left after the breakup. The only ones who think I wasn't to blame. And on top of that, this is the first time she hasn't used the "poor you" tone. The one people use at hospitals and funerals, except that with me the compassion feels chilly. Probably because, as the judge pointed out, nobody in a case like mine is ever completely innocent. I can't bring up Steven now. That case is supposed to be closed. So I say that work is my problem, because isn't work everyone's problem? The coolest one, rightly short on sympathy, says I should quit working for the mayor. She happens to be a lobbyist, and so she's got her arguments. And technically, we shouldn't be talking, let alone talking about work. It doesn't matter. The conversation has already gone to vinegar because the other two can't stand the machine, nor apparently can they tolerate the idiocy of the traffic control cops on Upper Wacker, as if one has to do with the other, or either has to do with me. I spend my days in the press room on the losing side of illogical debates like this, so I shut up and try to enjoy the atmosphere and my delicious 100-plus proof beverage that I bet Steven would find much too sweet. Just inside the next room, where more hipsters drink Negronis, their booze-warmed cheeks further flushed by the fireplace, I notice a hollow-eyed Latino looking at me. He's dressed in all black like the barbacks, so I think maybe he works here, which would explain why he's alone and empty-faced and near invisible. But he isn't trolling for empty Collins glasses or highballs, and if he's on the clock, someone would have chased him from there by now, half hidden behind the fat velvet curtain that stages the room, observing me with black hole eyes. He's breaking the rules, looking at me after I've caught him. I know I should be a little creeped, but thanks to booze, I take it in stride and flash him an overdone, toothy smile. His black eyes don't change as he takes a step back and disappears. Poof, a shadow. I think, "Oh no, you don't," and get up, the strength of the cocktails hard to catch up with as I cross the room on a mission, and one that's just as quickly aborted when I find him around a corner, down a hallway with the girl who is now commanding his attention. She's got him backed up against the wall, arms around his neck, tongue in his mouth. Before I can make myself scarce, a bathroom door opens next to them and a woman strolls out, fresh lipstick. They don't notice as she makes her way past. There's a double meaning to her, "excuse me." The look she gives me lacks solidarity, and I think she must wonder just what exactly I'm waiting in line for. So I
sample complete. Ready to continue?